This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9. I am Christine Wong. It is Monday, the 18th of April, 2022, and I'm joined in the studio by
Frida Liu.
And today we're going to be talking about a topic that is very close to both Frida and my hearts, tourism. So with international borders, yes, travel. With international borders rapidly reopening globally, Malaysia welcomed more than 250,000 people crossing borders since the reopening on the 1st of April, 2022, of course. So we're starting on a positive note, but what does the future trajectory for tourism look like for Malaysia? And what can Malaysia do to attract more tourists? Could the number of incoming tourists potentially revert to pre-pandemic levels? All that and more today on Enterprise Biz Bytes. If you would like to get in touch with us, talk to us about this topic. We are on Twitter at BFM Radio. We're also on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. And you know, when borders did reopen on the 1st of April, I think everyone's seen that video that went viral where drivers and motorists who were leaving Singapore honked and cheered with joy and excitement at the Malaysia-Singapore land border as Malaysians returned home after 2 years of closed borders. The 1st of April marked the start for us Malaysians and international tourists to gain a bit of normalcy back in our lives, to finally be able to start planning for getaways for ourselves and our families. So it's been 18 days since the national border reopened. How is Malaysia's tourism doing? According to an article in Free Malaysia Today that came out last Friday, it was reported that although the reopening of borders and relaxation of COVID-19 restrictions have been touted to play a significant role in boosting the tourism and hospitality industry, hoteliers unfortunately say that business is still slow at their end.
Right. Our regular guest, Yap Lip Seng, the Malaysian Association of Hotels CEO, said hotels have yet to record significant increases in occupancy since the transition to the endemic phase on April 1st, although there have been more Singaporean customers and some Indonesians. Yap mentioned that before April 1st, the average occupancy hovered around 30% to 40%, fluctuating between peak weekends and holidays, as well as normal weekdays, with popular domestic destinations doing better than others. Hotels are still hoping for an average occupancy of 50 to 60% by the third quarter of the year. He also said that the industry was still facing manpower constraints, while many hotel owners still needed to recover from the losses incurred over the past 2 years because of the pandemic and various lockdowns. So he said hotels have been actively recruiting since last year after the reopening of interstate travel and will continue to manage travelers' expectations. And although demand for workers is increasing, interest in hospitality jobs is still low. Therefore, a hospitality branding campaign is needed for the immediate and middle term, and a longer strategic plan that would include infiltrating the education system.
Mm-hmm. But on a positive note, most hotels that closed during the pandemic reopened, and hotels that had held back their openings in Kuala Lumpur, Langkawi, Penang and Sabah are currently scheduled to re-enter the market. Hotel investments are also seeing an increase. The Edge Markets also reported that the National Rehabilitation Council is confident that the country's economic recovery process will resume in the next few months following the reopening, according to its chairman, Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin. He mentioned that so far the number of visitors is over 250,000, but it is still lower than the target. But he did say, to his credit, after the country is closed to the world for so long, we cannot expect it to rise in 2 weeks. It would take at least 2 years for the economy to be where it was before.
All right. So when asked about the lack of positive figures in tourism, Malaysian Association of Tour and Travel Agents, MATA, Vice President Ganesh Rama said that major tourist markets in Malaysia are still in lockdown. Many countries from the Far East, you know, the China, Taiwan and Japan. He comments that it's still early to speculate on the tourist numbers to Malaysia as Europe, India and Gulf countries reopen as well. Malaysia is on the right track. However, Rama added that the Russia-Ukraine war will certainly affect global tourism to some extent as inflation hikes in some regions, especially in Europe. Inflation will affect the general public's disposable income and will contribute to tourists' travel preferences.
And the Ministry of Tourism, Arts and Culture recently said it aims to generate international tourism revenue of between 47 to 77 billion ringgit by 2025. Its Minister, Datuk Seri Nancy Shukri, said the target was through the expected influx of 16 to 22 million international tourists. MOTAC, which is the Tourism, Arts and Culture Ministry, is also targeting the entry of about 2 million tourists from abroad to Malaysia this year, generating an income of 8.6 billion ringgit. However, the agency stated that this is just an initial projection. Now, I think it's a very relevant point that we cannot expect the recovery to be so fast. You know, people are still
wary,
you know, cautious. And, you know, even the whole process of traveling is a little bit more complicated and will be a little bit more complicated for a while, you know, with different rules for different countries. You know, do you need to take a PCR test there? Do you need to take a PCR test before you leave? Do you have to pay extra? What apps do you need to download? You know, all this stuff. I'm not surprised that we're not, you know, necessarily seeing as much of a rush as I think people were hoping for.
Yeah. So, I mean, like for me, even like I'm not even thinking about overseas travel. The furthest it's going to be still interstate for me, right? And then because I don't know the complications, right, when it, going to all these other countries or worse, coming back to Malaysia and not knowing what the situation is here.
Exactly. You know, I think this is one of those industries that like eventually it will slowly come back. But, you know, I think to expect something so, like to expect such a quick recovery is just not realistic for not just this industry, but a lot of others as well that are slowly reopening as we transition into that endemic phase. So, of course, we're not the only people who are going to be speaking about this today. We will have Hannah Pearson, founding partner of Per Anderson, on the line later on to talk a little bit about tourism here in Malaysia. But for now, we do have Legs by ZZ Top coming up. And again, if you want to get in touch with us, we are on WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or Twitter at BFM Radio. But for now, we're going to take a short break.
Bribe-free Malaysia? BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bites with me, Christine Wong, and
Frida Liu.
Yes, yes. We are talking today all about tourism and travel and, you know, with the international borders reopening on the 1st of April 2022, we're looking at Malaysian tourism and essentially what the trajectory looks like for recovery for this industry at the moment. And if you want to get in touch with us, you can, of course, go to Twitter at BFM Radio or WhatsApp 018-789-8899 to share with us your thoughts, your opinions on all of this. Now, today on the line with us, we have Hannah Pearson, founding partner of Per Anderson. Now, Per Anderson is Southeast Asia Tourism Strategy and Representation. So they know all about the Southeast Asian outbound travel market. And so we decided to get in touch with them for some highlights today. Thank you very much, Hannah, for joining us on the show. First of all, I think let's start a bit general. Could you give maybe some key highlights for the tourism industry in April for the ASEAN region?
Well, over the 2 years that I have been tracking the impact of COVID-19 on the Southeast Asian tourism industry, I can say that April has really been, I think, the biggest month for ASEAN in terms of progress made for international travel. So far, it is definitely the most positive momentum that we have seen since the pandemic hit. There have been a ton of developments, from Malaysia finally reopening its borders here to fully vaccinated travellers, Singapore, which replaced its vaccinated travel lane scheme, which was very limited to a vaccinated traveller framework, allowing all fully vaccinated travellers in. Thailand removed its pre-departure test for its test and go scheme, and it looks like it may remove its on-arrival testing after Songkran. And the Philippines reopened its borders fully to fully vaccinated travellers as well, even from non-visa-free countries. So we have really seen this massive opening suddenly, which I think even at the beginning of the year, I might not have predicted. And in terms of domestic travel, it's all to play for as well in April. Key public holidays everywhere across the region. Thailand has Songkran, expecting, I think, 1 million air travelers. Khmer New Year in Cambodia, we're seeing lots of hotels and coastal provinces being booked out. We have Phi Mai in Laos, Dinh Yan in Myanmar, again, key domestic travel periods. Vietnam is building up to its Reunification Day, May Day long weekend at the end of April. And again, lots and lots of press at the moment around airlines expanding their seat capacity, expanding their routes, expecting really high load factors, hotels expecting very high occupancy levels. Philippines has Easter. Again, the airports are expecting really busy travel, even possibly up to pre-pandemic levels for domestic travel. And this is really something for the Philippines, because last year and 2020, their domestic tourism was all but dead, very, very limited. So it's super exciting to see that. Indonesia and Malaysia, of course, were building up to Raya. And Indonesia expect close to 80 million travelers over that period. Now, of course, many of those will just be returning to their hometown. But, you know, 80 million travelers. Compare this to where we were April 2021, Delta was just starting to hit the region. Restrictions were being tightened. Domestic travel was super limited. Nearly every single public holiday in the beginning half of last year faced some kind of travel restriction, and the tourism industry really couldn't take advantage of it. So April for ASEAN is a super exciting period that we're building up to.
Right. You know, Hannah, closer to home, what statistics are we seeing in Malaysia? Are Malaysians traveling outside already?
So talking to outbound travel agents last week at the Mata Fair, there is definitely this pent-up demand for travel outside of Malaysia. But the interesting thing is that trends are really changing. And some of the key destinations that were really popular for Malaysians pre-pandemic are perhaps not so this time round. So for example, Japan, and of course that is always a key, really popular destination for Malaysians, that's closed to tourists at the moment. For Australia, again, it's open, but anecdotally, a lot of agents are receiving feedback that there seems to be a wait to be able to get their ETA for tourists to actually be able to enter the country. So that's another barrier against it. You look at destinations like France and Italy, also really popular if you're talking about European destinations for Malaysians. They're not accepting Sinovac. Again, that's an issue for many Malaysians. Thailand across the border used to be a very easy getaway, but travelers are finding out, okay, yes, Thailand is open, but you need to apply for this Thailand pass. You need to have these RT-PCR tests. It quickly becomes expensive and hasslesome. So instead, you know, travelers really seem to be looking for those destinations that have the fewest number of restrictions. They are looking at, do I need to take tests on arrival? Do I need visas? What are the restrictions actually like when I'm there? Like, do I have to wear a face mask, for example? And what vaccines do they accept? Do they accept Sinovac? And still a surprising number of countries don't. So instead, you're finding that destinations like Turkey, which has always been a popular one with the Malaysian market, but now is, I wouldn't say even more popular because there's still a limited number. Travel is not at those levels yet. But Turkey is a very attractive proposition, has very few travel restrictions. And if you look at the stats, actually, for February 2022 travel, about 4,000 or so Malaysians visited Turkey in February 2022. But that's actually 77% of February 2020 numbers already. It's up 39% month on month versus January. And even if you're looking back versus 2019 levels, it's about 43% of 2019 levels. So Malaysians are traveling, and they are traveling to those destinations that they can get to easily. Even destinations like the Maldives at Mata Fair took a bigger boost than normal, and they have almost no restrictions. So I would anticipate that numbers there are also increasing as border restrictions ease in Malaysia too. And even if you look at passport applications here, the government announced that those were up 38% since March 2022, just from the 1st to the 4th of April. So there is this pent-up demand. People want to travel, but trends are changing.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, I didn't even think about the fact that the vaccines just don't allow some people to travel to certain countries because they're not necessarily eligible for those. Hannah, give us an idea. What about inbound numbers here?
We are still at the beginning of this reopening, really, but it looked good, at least initially. So the government announced from the 1st to the 4th of April, about a quarter of a million people had crossed the border. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that they were tourists. So they announced about 55,000 foreigners arrived in. Top border crossing foreigners. So again, this could be that they're crossing in and then crossing back out again. Singaporeans. No surprise there, about 65,000. Thais, almost 8,000. Indonesians, 5,000. Indians, and from the UK. So looking at that, that really means that I think ASEAN, and particularly Malaysia's neighbours, are going to be incredibly important for Malaysia's tourism recovery. And, you know, coupled with the fact that many ASEAN countries are now easing their own border restrictions, you know, removing quarantine when travellers return, removing those testing requirements. That means that more ASEAN travel is going to happen too. So things are looking up.
Well, that sounds positive. On that note, we do have to take a short break, but we will continue to have Hannah on the line with us. Just hold on for a few minutes, Hannah, to talk all about tourism and travel here in Malaysia and out of Malaysia as well. So do stay tuned for that. But for now, here's Thick and Thin by the Black Crowes on Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Build Fairer Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bites with me, Christine Wong, and
Frida Liu.
And today we're talking about tourism and Malaysia, and not just tourism coming into Malaysia, but going out of it as well. We have an expert on the line with us today, Hannah Pearson, a founding partner of Per Anderson. So we're just going to jump back into the conversation with her. But if you would like to contribute, we are on Twitter at BFM Radio or on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. So Hannah, thanks so much for staying on the line with us. Look, What should Malaysia be doing to be attractive again? I mean, should we be focusing on a specific kind of travel? I mean, what could we do to, you know, attract more travel and tourism our way?
So there are a few things that Malaysia needs to do to ensure that it's attractive when it's reopening. So one is to really make sure that infrastructure is in place, that attractions that have been there are well maintained, that it feels like a safe destination for international tourists to come to. And I mean, that's kind of the fundamentals. But it also needs to go beyond that, right? It now needs to start promoting itself heavily, that it is open, that the requirements are not too difficult. Yes, an RT-PCR test before you leave, but that's about it, right? You don't have to really apply for, you know, on some portal to be able to come in, except for registering. So in terms of that, that's fairly easy, but Malaysia can't presume that travellers are going to come as soon as the borders have opened. Inevitably, it's going to take time, and they are going to be competing with more and more other countries, even within Southeast Asia, who are reopening. Like Indonesia is fully reopened now in a much bigger way. Malaysia really needs to focus in that case on its uniqueness, its cultural diversity, gastronomy, especially for ASEAN travellers, you know, and love to eat, natural resources like Sabah and Sarawak. And Malaysia has this advantage also of having a reputation as being one of the most Muslim-friendly travel destinations in the world. So again, this year, Malaysia ranked as a top destination for Muslim-friendly travel in the State of the Global Islamic Economy Report. Overall, in terms of Muslim-friendliness, it came top for the ninth year in a row. But Malaysia can't get complacent about that. Again, many non-Muslim majority countries are gearing up to be targeting Muslim travellers as they reopen. So, for example, Thailand is now talking about focusing on Saudi Arabian travellers. Right. So, again, Malaysia has to step up its game in terms of promotion.
Right. And so what was Malaysia's focus as a tourist destination before the pandemic? And should it be the same, or has consumer behaviour and spending changed?
So Malaysia's focus as a tourism destination before the pandemic, I think we can see that there was this focus on longer haul markets like Europe, definitely rather than the domestic market. But I would say that going forward, Malaysia still needs to keep that focus on the domestic market. There's going to be this gap between borders reopening and international travellers arriving. And we also need to be kind of cognizant of the fact that spend may be well be lower. In Europe, there is definitely a squeeze on cost of living. You have the Russia-Ukraine war, which is also, you know, potentially raising airfare prices, making routes longer, and therefore that little bit less attractive perhaps to travel over to Southeast Asia. And travellers themselves in Malaysia may not have the budget to be able to afford to do overseas travel as well, with cost of living increasing here, inflation rising. So there really needs to be this renewed focus on the domestic tourism market and kind of innovating there too.
Mm-hmm. All right, Hannah, would you say hotels and airports are ready for the incoming visitors?
So I would say infrastructurally, they are ready. They have been preparing, you know, for the last 2 years. We have things like the Travel Safe Alliance framework for safety standards that has been implemented and agreed on by many travel partners within Malaysia. The main issue when it comes to hotels and airports and airlines is manpower. And this is something that the tourism industry as a whole is really struggling with right now. It's very difficult for them to balance taking on the staff with, you know, uncertainty. Are things going to go backwards still? Are the borders suddenly going to be closed? Do I really want to take on additional staff with those kind of overheads? They have to balance between this weekday versus weekend demand. Of course, with the domestic market, mainly seeing demand fall over the weekends, not necessarily the weekdays. So that complicates things. And you have this issue of trying to attract back staff who have left the industry and joined other sectors. You know, you may now be seeing these other sectors as a more stable one than the travel industry. So there is definitely work to do there surrounding manpower issues to really get them back up to 100% capacity.
Right. Yeah. As Yap Lip Seng was saying earlier on, you know, people to join the hospitality industry, Hannah. A final question, Hannah. You know, we do have a lot of Chinese visitors previously. So will the lack of Chinese visitors have a major impact on tourism?
For sure. I mean, so 2019, China was Malaysia's third biggest market. It had around 3 million visitors to the country. And many tourism players within Malaysia are solely focused on the Chinese market. They have very specific needs. And it has been hard for those tourism businesses to pivot to a different industry to or a different market sector to be able to cater to that. We have seen other emerging markets which could not necessarily replace, but at least supplement that gap this year. So a big one is the Indian market. And I think that the Malaysia Tourism Ministry really needs to focus on the Indian market before, certainly in 2019, going into 2020 for the Visit Malaysia year. That was one of Malaysia's key goals, to attract Indian tourists. You know, they have a large population, many connections into Malaysia, high spend. So it made sense then, and it still makes sense now to focus on that. But down to its sheer size, the Chinese market, you know, is key. It's key for recovery for Malaysia, not only for Malaysia, right, but ASEAN-wide as well.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Hannah, for all of those insights into the tourism landscape here in Malaysia and the ASEAN region as well. That was Hannah Pearson, founding partner of Per Anderson. And we were talking about Malaysia and tourism. And, you know, it seems that things are, you know, still looking optimistic, generally speaking, you know. But
slowly but surely.
Slowly but surely, for sure. All right. Well, that's about it for today's Enterprise Business Bites. We've been talking about tourism and travel here, which is a topic that Frida and I are certainly looking forward to contributing to contributing to more ourselves as well. That's about it though for today's show. Of course, I'm Christine Wong, and I've been joined by Frida Liu. And coming up on the Breakfast Grill replay after the 1 p.m. news bulletin, Central Global Berhad is listed on the main market and began its journey by manufacturing masking tape, and the group is now also involved in the construction sector. My goodness. So the Breakfast Grill spoke to Chiu Hian Tat, managing director of Central Global Berhad, about his plans for the company as a new major shareholder. That's all coming up shortly at 1 p.m. But for now, here is Keep On Trucking by Eddie Kendricks, followed by Dead Disco by Metric, here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.